Yeah, probably I met Helen at the Sound Gallery, and just before they were moving, you know, a couple of months before. And I mean, I don't know quite how we hit it. I mean, I really don't. It was just, it was like, how did I find, you know, Doug Hawthorne? How did I find, you know, all the dances that we put on and all? It you were just always there. And I think that someone said that they were coming over there and that they needed someone to help them do something, you know. And I went in and I loved Helen. I mean, Helen was so direct in the way she, you know, the way she beat her drum, you know, and it was just, and, you know, I mean, off the record, I used to drop acid and go and dance. Not every time, but I mean, I can remember twice going there and I was just coming off a trip and still really just right there conscious. And I just remember that day connecting. I still do. I remember connecting with Helen and her drum. And she couldn't do anything with her drum that I couldn't do. And she connected with me. And she couldn't do anything without. And everyone else, all the rest of the troupe just fitted in. You know, and we did a whole, seemed to me at least a half-hour performance, you know. And it was just fantastic. You know, because it just open enough, you know, not hallucinating, not doing it, not way out there, but just connected enough that everyone in the room connected. Every dance was a personal relationship within the group and that she caused. I mean, she just, because that's the way we dance. She said, "Okay, here are the parameters, and I go out and explore it." And she would beat her drum or whatever, you know. Usually it was just her drum. She'd beat her drum, and she would watch the tension grow and play to the tension, and pick people that had the tension, and the rest of the group would sort of know who that person was and would, and you know, make it happen with that person. Then all of a sudden it would dissipate down to nothing, and all of a sudden another energy would come up. It was great. Those days were wonderful. I mean, they really were. Helen moved around in her own little way. I mean, she was basically a dancer, but we always built environments, and we moved within the environments in that way. I mean,
okay.
Remember in the
show, she was reacting, interacting with the environment.
With the environments, and we all did. I can't remember his name right now, but there was a fella who was, maybe it was even Neon. No, it was before Johnny, because it was at Sound Gallery, and we had all these hanging metal things, and they were all had little mics on them, contact mics, and so we would dance in them, and when you move, and then you bing, you know. So we did a whole dance like that.
So that they was were like sculptures.
There were sculptures that we interacted with. Right. We danced inside, uh-huh. and used them to our advantage.
You know, Helen would come to me and say, "Okay, well, we like this sound, but we don't want to use it. You know, we want it manipulated in a way, or this way or that way." And so she would give it to me, and I would do 4 or 5 renderings of manipulations for her, and she would pick the one she liked the best, and then we would develop that into a dance piece. I mean, that's how that worked. Like when we did the fluorescent tubes, you know, Johnny Neon came in with the tubes, I came in with a concept the tubes, and I came in with a concept of making the tubes the cubes, and then Helen came in with the idea of dancing to the edge of the cubes, and so she did this whole cube dance, you know, at the gallery. And that's how it started. I mean, it was just everyone almost equalless in a sense, coming in and saying, "Try this, try that," and then they would respond and go, "Well, I can only do this with that, but if we do that one, I can actually expand the okay, then we'll go in that direction." And we chose to create together that way, and that's where you create together. That's where I think you create together. You know, otherwise it's not really a collaboration. It's you know, one guy doing the sound, one guy doing the visuals. And so we leave our egos at the door kind of thing. Whether it was drug, sex, and rock and roll that allowed us to park at the door, or it was just the era of the 60s, 70s, you know, opening up, I don't know. We were, instead of pre-programmed, we were reactive. Do something, I react to it. Well, when I danced with Helen, we always had all, the only constant in, well, even that wasn't constant. The only constant in there was the sound of her beating the drum, but not the rhythm of her drum. That was always changing. The only constant was the sound of her drum. Doo, 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 doo. And, or, boom, boom. And in between those were the beats when the dancers would move. And then she would sit and watch you, and if she didn't like it, she would stop the drumming. And then she'd say, okay, do it again. You know? And I want you guys to change. Okay, girls work with girls, boys work with boys this time. You know? Or I want one girl in the middle, and then I want everyone to touch her. You know, so you and have to find creative ways. And you know, you're dealing with, you know, 10 bozos out there. Well, some of them would be laying on the ground and some of them would be hovering over and some would be, you know, doing the whole thing. Because we're all free spirits. I mean, that was Helen would be like the driver of the chariot with all the horses out front. She with her little whip would keep everyone going, you know, but we never, with Helen, we never danced to a program step. It was not like ballet. It was like free ballet. We all did our ballet warm ups. We all prepared like we were going to do ballet, but when it came time to perform, it was what's in your mind, you know. And sometimes, you know, I mean, Judith and I would get into some things where we'd be mirroring each other and doing that sort of thing, just right off the top. And if Helen liked it, you know, she would say, everyone else, copy them. And so then everyone would look at us for a minute and see what we were doing, and then we'd all start copying it, you know. And then she'd see another aperture over there and go, okay, let's switch to what they're doing now, that's better. You know, and then she would get all these things in her mind, and then when she did her structure, it was a whole... You know, it was all malleable. It was all floating, but it was all structured at the same time. It's great.
So, but in dance, it's completely natural to have a someone watching, to, you know, and someone directing, because pretty hard. I mean, you can have mirrors, but you know, you can't be just looking over your shoulder all the time to see in the mirror what you're doing is looking like, right?
Oh, we never knew what it looked like.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, so it's really a collaborative. Is a collaborative situation.
It's a sense. It's a sensory thing. It's you're using the sixth sense. That, you know, how you sit down and you can feel someone beside you. Well, that's the way it was in the dance. I mean, it was. I can remember once I went. And Helen was having a rehearsal, so I went to the rehearsal on LSD. Well, you know how your mind expands. So I got in there, and we were all in tune. I mean, I had no idea what was going on, but I, you know, Helen said, "Wow, that was one of the best rehearsals we've ever done." You know, and it's just because for us it was all mental connection. Not doing it by rote, you know, like in ballet, you know, three steps, plié, you know, swan dive, you know, the whole, no, we never knew when that was coming, you know, because it wasn't part of the program. If you felt like clucking like a chicken, you cluck like a chicken in the middle of anything. That she wanted to break the bounds that were restricting art, you know, just... No different than the painters, you know, who went, no, we don't do this. We're, you know, we're the impressionists, you know. And then from there, it just kept on mushing. Well, the same movement happened in dance where they finally just broke away from the, and they still call it ballet, but it was, you know, interpretive ballet, creative ballet. We use different. I never remember Helen dancing, only to show us. I don't know if she ever did dance, to be honest. She might have danced. She might have danced when she was in New York. She probably did. She was a facilitator. She didn't. She only would set the stage to make it happen, and would beat the drum to give us a timing. But even in that, you could double timer, triple timer, or half timer. You know, it didn't really matter. She just allowed freedom. I mean, that's what the Sound Gallery was all about. I mean, that's what so turned me on in the 60s, was the Sound Gallery was just the group of people who wanted to explore movement, you know, explore their bodies. And